Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today, and I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. I'd like to start with something funny, and I heard about this man. He was the only Protestant in a large Catholic neighborhood. Every Friday during Lent, while his neighbors were eating cold fish, he was grilling a steak in his backyard. They couldn't stand the temptation and decided to try to convert him to Catholicism. He finally agreed. And a priest came over and sprinkled water on him, said, "You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." The next year, on the first Friday of Lent, they smelled the same smell. They rushed to his house. He was in the backyard sprinkling water over his steak, saying, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you're a fish." All right, y'all, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about dealing with ugly situations. In life, we all face the good, the bad, and the ugly. We love the good times where we're seeing God's favor and doors are opening. We can handle the bad. We didn't get the contract. A neighbor is talking about us. That's just life happening. But there are some situations, the only way to describe them is ugly. An ugly medical report. We never thought we'd be facing this. Or an ugly breakup. Someone we counted on walked away. Or an ugly addiction. It's easy to get discouraged and think, "God, where were you?" But God won't allow a difficulty if he's not going to use it for your purpose. The scripture says everything is serving his plan. Not just the good times, the promotion, the blessings, but even the ugly times when it's not fair and life throws us a curve. And if you'll go through the suffering with the right attitude, through that hardship, trusting that God's in control, then God will make something beautiful out of the ugly. You will go to levels of your destiny that you could have never reached by just living in the good times. And these ugly seasons are uncomfortable. We'd prefer to never have to deal with it, but they are necessary to become all you were created to be. See, you don't grow as much in the good times. It's in the difficult times you're stretched. Your faith can increase, your trust, your endurance. David said, "God, you enlarged me in my distress." Not enlarged me when I was comfortable, when everyone was celebrating me, but you enlarged me when I was chased by Saul through the desert and I'd done nothing wrong. You enlarged me when my own father didn't think I'd amount to anything. You enlarged me when people I had been good to were slandering me, trying to ruin my reputation. None of us like the ugly seasons, but that's when God does some of his greatest work, preparing you for something that you've never seen. And that's what happened with Jacob. He had just moved to a new city and he was working for his uncle, a man named Laban. Laban had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. Rachel was extremely attractive. She was stunning. The scripture says she was beautiful in every way, with a lovely face and a shapely figure. Everyone admired her beauty. She was a knockout. But her older sister, Leah, not so much. Verse 17 says, Leah had weak eyes. One translation says Leah was dull looking. Rachel got all this physical beauty, but Leah was unattractive. And it's not often that the scripture describes someone's physical appearance. This has a deeper meaning, because every person is a masterpiece made in the image of God. But the symbolism here is Rachel is beautiful and Leah is ugly. Well, when Jacob saw Rachel, he didn't think twice. It was love at first sight. He thought, "I'm gonna marry this girl." In those days, Women were treated almost like property. You had to buy them. Jacob went to Laban and said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll work for you 7 years if you'll let me marry Rachel. Laban shook his hand and said, you have a deal. 7 years and she's yours. Well, Jacob was so in love, he couldn't wait for the 7 years to pass. He worked hard and was faithful. He increased Laban's flocks. Because of Jacob, Laban became a wealthy man. And Jacob was glad to do it. He knew something better was coming in return. This beautiful Rachel was about to be his wife. Well, the 7 years came to an end, and Laban had this big wedding, big ceremony. All these family and friends gathered. Back then, the bride wore a very thick veil. You couldn't see who it was. Well, after the ceremony, they'd had all the dancing, all the partying. Finally, the night ended. Jacob went home a married man. He woke up the next morning, looked over in bed, but it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. He nearly passed out. He didn't see the beautiful face he dreamed about. He saw weak eyes staring at him. No offense, but he didn't work that hard, that long, for something that dull. He went straight to Laban, said, this is not what we agreed to. I didn't ask for the unattractive one. I asked for the beautiful one. How many times have we prayed for Rachel, but we got Leah? Like Jacob, we worked hard. We did the right thing. We were expecting Rachel, favor, promotion, good breaks, but Leah showed up. Something unfair that we didn't see coming. Well, Laban was dishonest. He didn't keep his word, but in his defense, in those days, the father was responsible for giving the oldest daughter in marriage first. That was the tradition. That was being an honorable father, not overlooking the older. Laban said to Jacob, if you'll work for me another 7 years, then I'll give you Rachel. Jacob wasn't happy about it, but he agreed. He worked 7 more years in an unfair situation. He was taken advantage of. It might have been protocol, but Laban should have told him and not tricked him. But here's the key. Jacob didn't complain. He wasn't disrespectful to Leah. She wasn't his choice. He didn't blame her. Why are you unattractive? You're not who I wanted. He did the right thing when it was hard. He kept being his best in an ugly situation. No one would have faulted him for walking away, being bitter. He could have cut corners, kept some of the profits, come in late. But those next 7 years, Jacob increased Laban's flocks more than the first seven. He was faithful when it didn't make sense. At the end of the 7 years, he married Rachel. He saw that promise come to pass. Rachel represents what we're believing for, our dreams, good health, joy, peace, abundance. We all want Rachel, but often Leah shows up first, something that we didn't want, what's unattractive. What you do in the ugly situations will determine whether you get stuck there or you come into the beautiful things God has for you. You may be in one of those ugly times now. Things haven't turned out the way you had planned. You can get bitter, give up on your dreams, or you can do like Jacob and do the right thing when it's unfair. Keep being your best when life throws you a curve. Rachel is coming. What God promised you is still en route. Leah is a test. The ugly situation is where you have to prove to God what you're made of. Anyone can get sour and forget you, Laban. This is unfair. But if you don't deal with Leah properly, you'll never see Rachel. It was necessary that Leah came first. Wasn't a coincidence. That's just how the story panned out. It was ordained by God. We can't see it at the time. How any good can come out of this ugly situation where we were betrayed. We were dealing with an illness. We lost a loved one. It may not be fair, but without it, you couldn't become all you were created to be. It's depositing something in you. It's stretching you, getting you prepared for things greater than you've imagined. Jacob married Rachel and he married Leah. He had two wives, but he never really loved Leah. The scripture says that Leah was disliked. She felt unwanted. She had baby after baby, thinking that would cause Jacob to change his mind and really fall in love. But Jacob never did. He was respectful, but he didn't show her much affection, didn't spend much time with her. He loved Rachel. He was drawn to her beauty and her smile, the way she made him feel. Well, over time, both Rachel and Leah had children. Leah had a son named Judah. It was thousands of years later, the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah. Jesus was born through Leah's family line. Out of this ugly situation came something magnificent, something Jacob couldn't see at the time. All he saw was, Laban tricked me. This is not what we agreed to. I wanted the beautiful daughter, not the unattractive one. But you don't know what God is up to. Leah was necessary. If Jacob didn't have Leah, the ugly situation, we wouldn't have the Messiah. God uses things that we don't like. He wouldn't have allowed it if there wasn't a purpose. We don't understand it. All we know is we prayed for Rachel. We did our best. We worked hard, but this business partner cheated us. Our child got in trouble. We didn't see this medical report coming. Leah showed up. Can I encourage you? Leah is necessary. God is working behind the scenes. Stay in faith. Keep trusting. You won't see Rachel if you don't deal with Leah properly. And the fact is, God could have had Rachel give birth to Judah. Seems to make more sense. The beautiful girl, the attractive one. But God was showing us how he uses ugly situations to do something beautiful, something that you had never seen without the betrayal, without the loss, without the adversity. Genesis 49, Jacob was an old man and about to pass, called his children in, spoke blessings. He gathered his loved ones around and gave them one final instruction. Said in verse 29, soon I'm going to die. Bury me in the cave of Machpelah, where my grandfather and father are buried, for there I buried Leah. In those days, it was very important where you were laid to rest. It wasn't an afterthought. You would have put much time and effort into it. Had great meaning and significance. Isn't it interesting that Jacob didn't say, bury me next to Rachel? Make sure I'm beside that woman that was so beautiful, that I loved and admired. No, Jacob said, bury me next to Leah. He was saying, in effect, when I look back over my life, I realize Leah was necessary. I was uncomfortable. I didn't choose it. It's not what I expected, but I wouldn't have become who I am without Leah. And when we come to the end of life, we're going to realize it wasn't just the good breaks that got us to where we are, the open doors, the happy times. It was the Leahs, the things we didn't like, that weren't fair, these ugly moments where we did the right thing. We stayed faithful. We trusted even though it didn't make sense. That's where we grew. That's where our faith got stronger. You may be dealing with a Leah now, something you don't understand. Have the right perspective. It's necessary. You couldn't become who you were created to be without it. Don't fight it, embrace it. It's not stopping you, it's preparing you. God wouldn't have allowed that Leah, that ugly situation, if he didn't have something beautiful coming. Judah came out of Leah. God chose to bring his only son through an ugly situation, through the lineage of Leah. Your situation may be far from beautiful. You were promised Rachel, but you got Leah. You don't know what God is up to. Trust him when you don't understand. Being in an ugly situation doesn't mean God is not working. We wouldn't have the Messiah if it wasn't for Leah. Without that difficulty, you couldn't become who you were created to be. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You're going to feel like having a good attitude when things are not fair, and being good to people that weren't good to you, and staying in faith when the medical report's not improving. But if it was easy, everyone would do it. The people that come out of the ugly into the beautiful are the people that have a made-up mind. People that say, I'm not moved by who did me wrong, what didn't work out, what wasn't fair. I know this ugly situation is a sign that something beautiful is coming. Jesus said in Matthew, take up your cross and follow me. We pray for blessings, favor, health, that's good. But none of us pray for a cross. We want Rachel, not Leah. But there are levels of your destiny you cannot reach without taking up your cross. You won't see Rachel until you've encountered Leah. Now, taking up your cross is not some sad, defeated, suffering life. We're supposed to live an abundant, joyful, victorious life. But sure, there'll be crosses, betrayals, unfair situations, dealing with an addiction. Leah will show up. We don't like it. We're uncomfortable. But you have to do like Jacob. Don't get bitter. Keep doing the right thing when it's hard. Endure when you feel like giving up. Stay in peace when you could be worried. That's what it means to take up your cross. You're in an ugly situation, but you're not moved. You know it's all working for your good. And we hear a lot about the suffering, the burden, the pain, but you have to realize the cross is not the end of your story. There's a resurrection coming. When you take up your cross, it's leading to blessing, favor, health, levels of your destiny you could have never reached without the adversity. Leah had to happen. Leah was necessary for your purpose. Don't fight it. Complain. Joel, why did these people cheat me? And I'm dealing with this illness and these co-workers, they're always trying to discredit me. We're all going to have Leah, but remember the Messiah came through Leah, through an ugly situation, through something that was unfair. There's purpose in the pain. Favor is going to come out of the frustration, promotion out of that loss. For 17 years, I worked behind the scenes here at Lakewood doing the television production. I enjoyed making my father look good. I thought that's what I would do the rest of my life. My father and I were the best of friends, had a beautiful wife, two young children. Life was good. Then Leah showed up. My father had a heart attack and suddenly went to be with the Lord. I didn't see that coming. I thought Daddy would be here another 20 years, but unexpectedly, he was gone. I found myself in an ugly situation. It was painful. There was so much uncertainty. What's going to happen to Lakewood? I knew I was supposed to step up and pastor, but I was afraid. I didn't feel qualified. Plus, I was dealing with the loss of my father. I liked the way it was before, with Rachel, everything beautiful. But sometimes God will send Leah to push you into your purpose. If my father was still here, I would have never stepped up. I was comfortable where I was. Do you know what brought the gifts out that I never knew I had? Not Rachel, not the good times, but Leah. I thought losing my father would be my darkest hour. But in fact, it launched me into my brightest hour. God was working in the loss, in the pain, in the trouble. He was using Leah to get me to Rachel, to a level of my destiny I would have never seen without that ugly situation. When I come to the end of life, I can say with Jacob, bury me next to Leah. Because if I hadn't had that loss, I would have never stepped up to who I was created to be. Without Leah, I would have never become a pastor, never had the Compact Center, never written a book. What am I saying? Don't complain about Leah. What was unfair, the loss, the breakup, that ugly situation is leading to something beautiful. Out of Leah's lineage came the Messiah. Out of your ugly seasons, you're going to give birth to amazing things. Talent, favor, opportunity that you've never dreamed. We see this in the scripture with Joseph. As a teenager, God gave him a dream that he would be in leadership and people would bow down before him. Like Jacob, he had this promise that Rachel is coming, something beautiful. Joseph was being his best, honoring God. Then Leah showed up. His brothers were jealous and they threw him into a pit. We're going to leave him there, but they ended up selling him as a slave in Egypt. I'm sure Joseph thought, God, you gave me this dream. You promised me Rachel, but now I'm a slave in a foreign country. He dreamed of something beautiful, but he was facing something ugly. Before you see Rachel, often you'll have to deal with Leah. How you handle the betrayals, the loss, the delays, that will determine whether you see Rachel. It's easy to get sour. They put the chip on your shoulder. God, you healed my mother. Why didn't you heal my father? Or David, God, my own family has turned on me. Those ugly times are not random. That's not happenstance. That's a sign God is up to something. God knows what he promised you. And he knows what he put in you that you don't even realize. It's all working for your good. Joseph kept being his best, doing the right thing, and he was falsely accused and put in prison. One day the Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't interpret. They told him about a slave, a foreigner in prison, a man named Joseph, how he could interpret dreams. Joseph was brought before the Pharaoh, the leader of the country. He interpreted his dream. He was so impressed that he made Joseph the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph saw his dream come to pass in leadership with people bowing down before him. If Joseph were here today, he would tell you, my brothers being jealous was necessary. The betrayal was necessary. Being falsely accused was necessary. Leah had to happen. Without the ugly situation, he would have never seen Rachel. It was all a part of God's plan. And I know you can trust God, but my question is, can he trust you? Can God count on you to do the right thing in the ugly situations? Things that are not fair? When you pray for Rachel, but Leah shows up? Will you be like Joseph and keep being your best? That's passing the test. I can't promise you that if you stay in faith, you'll always see Rachel. Blessings, favor, beautiful, attractive. You can't reach your destiny without Leah. But I can promise you that if you'll endure with a good attitude, go through the suffering with a smile, praising instead of complaining, then all those things that look like they would stop you will end up thrusting you into your purpose. You'll be able to say like Jacob, bury me next to Leah. I couldn't have become who I was created to be without the ugly situation. The things you didn't like, but you passed the test. You did the right thing when it was hard, and you give birth to your Judah, something greater than you've imagined. Back in the late 1950s, my father was the pastor of a successful church. They just built a new sanctuary that held 1,000 people, and that was uncommon for back then. He was on the state board for his denomination, on his way up. The future looked so bright, then Leah showed up. My sister was born with a birth injury, something like cerebral palsy. The doctors told my parents she'd probably never be able to walk or feed herself. They were devastated. My father began to read the scripture in a new light. He was taught that God doesn't heal today. You just have to accept it as his will, that miracles and healing were only for Bible days. But he read in Hebrews where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That lit a new fire on the inside. And he came back to his church with this new message of faith and victory and how when we believe, all things are possible. He thought everyone would be excited. It's just the opposite. Some people didn't like it, didn't fit into their tradition. And there was so much contention and strife that my parents had to resign. They left that church that they'd spent years pouring their heart and soul into. They never saw that coming. Life was good. Then their whole world was turned upside down. They could have been discouraged. God, we don't understand it. But like Jacob, they did the right thing when it was not fair. They didn't get bitter. They didn't talk badly about the people. They went out and started Lakewood with 90 people in a rundown feed store. It was just a fraction of the amount they had before, but they just kept loving those people, caring for them, faithful when it didn't make sense. At 9 months old, my sister Lisa lifted her head off the bed for the first time, something my parents were told she'd never be able to do. Little by little, she got better and better. Of course, you know today, Lisa's perfectly healthy, one of our leaders on staff, one of our pastors. The critics said that Lakewood would never make it, but 65 years later, still going strong. Here's my point. There never would have been a Lakewood without a Leah, an ugly situation. My parents didn't like it, but Leah was necessary. Without my sister's birth injury, my father would have never discovered the fullness of the Spirit. That's what launched him into who we are today. And God doesn't send the trouble. He doesn't send the sickness. But if he allows it, he's going to somehow use it for good. And you may be facing a Leah today, something you don't understand. You know God promised you Rachel, but things haven't turned out the way you thought. Looks like God didn't keep his word. Can I encourage you? Rachel is still coming. God is working behind the scenes. This is a test. This is when you have to prove to God that you're not going to get discouraged and give up. What if you knew it had to happen? That you couldn't reach your destiny without Leah? And I know we love Rachel, the beautiful, the comfortable, but without Leah, you won't see the greater things God has for you. It was through Leah's lineage, through her son Judah, that we have the Messiah. God knows how to bring beautiful things out of ugly situations. I'm asking you to trust him when you don't understand. Do the right thing when you're uncomfortable. One day you'll look back and say like Jacob, bury me next to Leah. All those things you didn't like, you had to endure, suffer through. You realize they made you into who you are. If you'll do this, I believe and declare, like God did for Jacob, you're not only going to see your Rachels, the blessing, favor, healing, but God's going to take those ugly situations and make something amazing out of them. You will rise higher, accomplish dreams, and reach the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, if you can stick with me. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground. Such faithful people here at Lakewood, so many watching and listening. Lord, we all have some Leahs, some things we don't understand. Not what we were praying about, unexpected. But Lord, I thank you that you're in control. Today we're going out of here trusting you. Even in these seasons that we may not see what you're doing. Lord, we know you're working it all for our good. And I just ask you, Lord, you just breathe fresh strength into your people, fresh vision. Help us to believe. Help us to stay in faith. Lord, I thank you that as we do our part, that you have the Rachels already lined up. Lord, I thank you that some of your people will see Rachels this week, something that they've been believing for, some ugly situations will turn in their favor. And Lord, we trust you with our lives. We look back and we have a history with you. We've seen your goodness again and again, sustaining us and causing us to remain. And we trust you in this season. Protect your people as they go out, their children at school as well. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a quick question. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. Now, I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, and you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts, he'll whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. I have people at the house, I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm gonna give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need a fresh new start, a new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like that'll be a few more. Anybody else? Your heart beating fast? Lakewood, let's clap them in. They're still standing up top. Watching, anybody else? Well, God bless you. Please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. And more importantly, I know the angels are rejoicing in the heavens. God will never be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Would you all pray this after me if you would, please? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing one more moment if you would. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. Also, we're going to be praying for you. I want to give you a personal invitation to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment. Just like you go to work, that for the next year, you're going to be here every time you can. I'll make a promise. Before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. I know you're busy Sundays, you work hard, you got a family, but can I tell you, your new week goes better when you get into a community of faith and put God first place. I hope you take me up on this. And like I said earlier, get plugged in here. After service, there's a room over here called New Beginnings. If you need anything, prayer, information, why don't you stop by? I'm going to be out there in the lobby right over there. If you can't do it today, don't come for 20 years and I'll never meet you. Stop by and give me the opportunity to meet you sometime. Love to shake your hand. Know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, October 13, 2024, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you are going home better off than you were before? Amen. Well, we love you guys. Let me speak the blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.